Dr. Stan here at Greater Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of John Shorey, and we're going to be talking about his book on the window of the Lord's return. And of course, subtitled 2012 to 2020. Now, it's really a book about the rapture. And of course, why should we be really worried about the rapture? Why should we really be concerned about whether the pre-trib position or the mid-trib position or the certainly post-trib position are right? Well, the question is the Bible relevant to what's going on in the world today? And that's a question most people don't really ask. In fact, is God really relevant? Certainly, we live in a material world, and we see all these things happening, and some of them are rather hard to interpret. I mean, how do we make any sense of so much of what's going on over in the Near East and the Middle East, and America supposedly in favor of democracy? And yet, we find out now they've been lying to us. They've actually been financing the revolutions over there, and we're installing new dictatorships under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood. And why would we do something like that? It just doesn't make sense. Well, with us this evening, of course, is John Shorey, and we're going to be talking about his view on the timing of the rapture. Why is that significant? Well, because so many Christians honestly believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. It's almost as if that has something to do with the very foundations of Christianity, because it's taught in so many of the churches today. But is that position accurate? And certainly, is basically an awful lot of Christians involved. Their church, but they're not concerned about politics because they think that nothing bad will ever happen to American Christians. Well, John, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, for bringing me on.
Well, I want you to tell our listeners about your study, how it was that you came to write your book on the window of the Lord's return.
Well, I wasn't looking to write a book. And about 7 years ago, when my wife and I were on part-time staff at a church as children's pastors, we had a visiting evangelist one day, and what happened is that on that Sunday night, I kind of snuck off so I could get in on the last few minutes of his message. And when he got done preaching, he called people up for prayer, and then he asked people to come up and help pray. So I went up to help pray, and he didn't know who I was, but he came forward amongst those that were up at the altar. He pointed me out. First thing he did, he says, "You over there, I have a word from the Lord for you." And he told me a number of things, but the thing that really caught my attention was, he says, "The greatest years of your ministry are ahead of you." Well, a number of the things that he said over the next 2 years, they were all happening. So I went to the Lord in prayer, and I said, "Lord, you have been blessing me, but what am I supposed to do that will lead me to the greatest years of my ministry?" And with fasting and prayer, all I could hear in my heart was I was to do a study on the end times. I was to self-publish it and give it to pastors and leaders. And this is how it all started.
And basically, of course, you started out believing in the pre-trib rapture, didn't you?
That's right. I had always been taught pre-trib, and that's where my leanings were. I had a few doubts, but when I went to start writing this book, I figured, well, God was going to answer the questions and put it to bed, and I would know that the rapture was pre-trib, but that's not what the result was.
And, of course, the thing is, of course, the pre-trib rapture gets you thinking, well, I don't have to worry about anything because I'm going to be raptured out of here before anything bad happens. But tell that to the people over in Syria today, or the Christians in Egypt, or the Christians in Afghanistan, or the Christians, well, there aren't any Christians in Afghanistan. They've all been forced to leave.
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Certainly, John is just pointing out that 2 Thessalonians 1, 2, 3, basically, in essence, says that the man of sin is not going to become apparent until, the Lord is not going to come for his people until the man of sin has been revealed. In other words, until the Antichrist is here. Well, basically, of course, that means the Antichrist has to come before the rapture. And there's no way you could change the reading of 2 Thessalonians 1, 2, 3. Can you pick the story up there, John?
Yes. Well, you know, pre-trib teaching, one of the main parts of pre-trib teaching is that the rapture is imminent, that nothing else has to happen. But if you understand that the Antichrist has to arrive first, then when you start reading the study that I have done and see the things the Lord has shown me, you realize that there are some major events that have to happen before the rapture can happen. Because when I was studying for this book and studying in Revelation, the Lord showed me something about the coming Antichrist that we had all missed. But as I've shared this with pastors, teachers, and everybody, they recognize that what the Lord showed me is the truth. In Revelation 13, it says, one of the heads of the beast is fatally wounded. Well, that verse has been interpreted that the head of the one world government would be fatally wounded and he would come back as the Antichrist. Well, if you study that verse, what you realize is that the word beast, one of the heads of the beast, is referring to a one-world government with 10 heads, 10 crowns, 10 horns. Well, what people realize now is, you know, the Bible says that every people, language, and nation will be under the rule of the Antichrist. Every nation, even America. And what is happening is, the people that are looking at forming a one-world government are looking at global, everybody. And they've divided the world into 10 regions, with each region having a head of state. So that one-world government with 10 heads, when it says one of the heads of the beast is fatally wounded, what it's referring to is one of the heads of state. It doesn't mean wounded in the head. It means that one of the 10 leaders of 10 regions will be fatally wounded. And you know what this means? This means that in order to be qualified to be the Antichrist, you have to be one of those 10 heads of state, which really makes things very interesting, because that even means the president, the leader of the North American region, qualifies to be the Antichrist.
And I think it's important people understand that basically the North American Union is one of the 10 major blocs in the world. The European Union is another one of the blocs, and then there's certainly a bloc in South America and in Africa. And basically, of course, certainly John goes through all of these blocs, these 10 blocs of nations, which are accepted now as the basic building blocks for this one world government. And those of you who listen to our program know we often talk about the fact that the ultimate goal of all the secret societies we deal with is this one world government. But people don't understand the spiritual implications of this. And basically, if the Bible is relevant, and I believe it is, I think the Bible is telling us exactly what's going to happen, and that this is all about the world government, and of course that this is coming down the line. And of course, John brings out so many significant things, and one of them is there's going to be a great financial collapse. And you, well, but you go ahead, John, but so much of what John says, as he analyzes this from his point of view and simply analyzing the scriptures, corresponds to exactly the things that I've come up with from studying what the conspiracy is doing and reading what these various those organizations are actually about today. So pick up the story, John.
Sure. Well, based on what I just said, when you realize that the 10 heads have to be in place before one of them can be fatally wounded, then what you realize is that the one world government has to be in place before the Antichrist can be revealed. And if the rapture can't happen until after the Antichrist is revealed, well, then what that means is that the rapture can't even happen until after the one world government is formed. Now, this really opens up some interesting thoughts, because what will it take for the nations of the world to give up their sovereignty and willingly join a one-world government? What will it take for America to cancel its constitution and willingly join a one-world government?
And it's going to have to be some sort of a major financial catastrophe or some sort of a major conflict. Would you think those are two very good possibilities?
Yeah, I think that something huge is going to ultimately trigger economic collapse, financial collapse that will be global. It could start in Europe and ripple to America. It could start in America and ripple to Europe. It could be started by a war. It could be started by a terrorist event. But the point is, when this economic collapse hits, and it literally causes the collapse of currency, credit cards lose their value, money loses its value, you would end up having a complete collapse of infrastructure. We would see famine, martial law, starvation. These things will cause nations to say, if there's a global solution, I'm for it. And when we go through that period of time, I'll tell you, in America, life as we know it will be over. We need to be prepared and realize that this is coming.
I agree with you, and we keep stressing the importance of making your personal preparations, but also your spiritual preparations, because terrible times come. I mean, here we're reading in the paper, you know, just today, that North Korea is threatening to bomb New York. I mean, what sort of madness is that? And yet, of course, the Iranians have already said that if they're attacked, they will certainly be spawned by attacking the United States. And we know the Iranians are actually practicing over there in some of the inland seas over in Asia. They're actually practicing EMP, electromagnetic pulse attack on America. We have no defense against it. Is that what's going to happen? We don't know, but some major event is going to be taking place. Incidentally, of course, North Korea recently said that they were going to attack not only New York and Los Angeles, Austin, Texas. Why would they want to attack Austin, Texas? But we live in a world gone mad, ladies and gentlemen. And yet, of course, behind everything going on, I believe there are powerful spiritual forces. And if you believe the Bible is relevant, and I believe the Bible is very relevant, and why, of course, I think this is why John's book is so vitally important, why we're carrying the book, and why we'll tell you later on how to get it. But I started reading the book, and I had a hard time putting it down. And many of the points that John has made, certainly are the points that I've come up with, certainly from my studies, from an entirely different point of view. But he's come up with these ideas based upon his extensive study of the scriptures. Go right ahead, John.
Well, you know, the title of my book, The Window of the Lord's Return, 2012 and 2020, basically, the title of this book came from a study from Matthew where it talks about the budding of the fig tree. And I did a study in the Old Testament on the fig tree. And the fig tree literally referred to the land that belonged to God. And it said that the fig tree would bud. And the budding of the fig tree means that the land that was dead, Israel, was not a nation for 2,000 years. But in 1948, the fig tree, the land that belonged to God, came back to life. And this was a miracle. And so this is the basis of the window, because I show in scripture that a generation, because Matthew says one of these events was the rebirth of Israel through the fig tree, and it says this generation shall not pass away till the coming of the Son of Man. I show why that a generation is 70 years, possibly a little longer, but 70 years from 1948 is 2018. And I show in a chapter called The Window of the Lord's Return, all of these events that are prophetic in nature that are all falling in this window. And I believe that we are in the time. Now is the time. The Lord is coming soon.
Well, I think he is. I don't know when it's going to be. I think a lot of things are going to happen, but I think we're going to see dramatic changes in the coming years. And how soon it'll be, no one knows. We're told in the scriptures, no one knows when the Lord's coming. But of course, it is John's contention that the rapture is not going to come before the tribulation. There's going to be a great deal of suffering for Americans, and the rapture will be mid-trib. In other words, after 3.5 years. But you pick up the story, John.
Well, excuse me, I kind of lost my train of thought. But the window of the Lord's return in 2012 to 2020, if you take a look at Matthew, where it talks about Matthew 24, where it Matthew 24 is literally an outline of Revelation chapter 6, where it goes through the seals, the six seals. And at the end of Matthew 24, it talks about the sun going black and the moon not giving its light. And then it says, at that time, the signing of the Son of Man will be seen coming in the clouds. If you look at Revelation chapter 6, the opening of the seals, the sixth seal is the same as what it's talking about in Matthew.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
In just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and John is certainly going through these other seals. And basically, you need to get your Bible out and go through Revelation 6. And basically, as he analyzed it, I learned a great deal. And as he points out, the first seal is the rider on the, open it, and there's the rider on the white horse. And of course, John feels that is the Antichrist. And then, of course, the second seal is that the rider on the red horse, and there's this terrible war and terrible bloodshed and suffering. And then the third seal is the rider on the black horse, and that's the famine that's coming to the world. And then the fourth seal. The fourth seal, of course, is the... and here's what one of the things I really learned. I always thought that that was going to lead to the death of a quarter of the people in the world. But, of course, this is the death of this one... of one quarter of the world is going to come under this this terrible suffering and death and plagues. And then, of course, then you get to the... Then you get to the fifth seal and the sixth seal, and basically John feels that the church is taken out at the sixth, after between the sixth and seventh seal. But John, you pick this up because you've done a wonderful study on it. You put a lot of thought into it, and I think your explanation will help our listeners understand what this is. And as John points out, you have to actually read Matthew 24 and in conjunction with Revelation 6. You need to study the two together. Go right ahead.
Well, you know, as I was saying, you know, going through these seals, which you've just basically outlined, I had a struggle. You know, I just don't see the seals as the wrath of God. So I actually went to the Lord in prayer, and I said, Lord, would you let me know what's the difference between the seals and the wrath of God? And as I was praying, it was like the Holy Spirit just dropped the answer. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, the difference is the delivery. The wrath of God is delivered by angels, and there are no angels in the seals. Well, I didn't know this. I went to my Bible, and I read through all six seals leading up to the rapture. There was not an angel to be mentioned. When you read through the seven trumpets of God's wrath, every one of those trumpets is blown, and the wrath is delivered by angels. When you go and you read the seven vials or the seven bowls of God's wrath, every one of them is delivered by angels. When you go into a study in the Old Testament, you realize that angels were involved in God's wrath. I mean, I could not even find an exception to it. You know, the angels delivered the wrath of God in Egypt. When David did a census that displeased God, it was an angel that delivered the wrath of God. There are no angels in the seal.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, when you get to Revelations, at the end of Revelation 6, it's really interesting because what it says, I watched and he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair, and the whole moon turned blood red, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as late figs. Then it says, then the kings of the earth, the princes, generals, the rich and mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves. They called to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come. Well, you know, this verse is showing a time where those who are not Christians are scared to death. They're running to find themselves a hole in the rocks to hide them from the wrath of God.
Now, what verse in Revelation is that?
This was the last verse. This would be Revelation 6, 13.
Okay, Revelation 6, 13. Go right ahead.
And actually 15. It says, the kings of the earth, the princes and generals, the rich and the mighty, and every slave and every free man, hid in caves. They call to the mountain, fall on us. It says, for it actually, in one verse, it says, it's a great and terrible day. Well, you know, this is when that sun goes black and the moon does not give its light. It is going to be a great day for the saints, because in Matthew and Mark and Luke, all three of them say, when the sun goes dark and the moon does not give its light, at that time, one version says, then we will see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds. So we are going to be rejoicing, but it will be a terrible day when the wrath of God is at that point, when we are evacuated off the earth, then those who have not accepted Christ will be looking for a place to hide.
And I think the other point that John makes is suddenly they're in heaven, you know, and the angels see all of these people in white robes, and they're saying, where do those people come from? Well, of course, it is John's contention that the angels are seeing the Christians who've been taken to heaven in the rapture. Is that a correct interpretation, John?
Yes. Well, you know, in Revelation 4:1, most people, you know, that hold to a pre-trib rapture believe that the rapture happens in Revelation 4:1.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment.
While the storm clouds gather all across the sea,
mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-5-
All incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Story, and we're going to be talking. This is Dr. Stan, because John makes the point that suddenly as you read about the end of the sixth seal, and again as you go into the second seal, a seventh seal, why, of course, the angels or some of the in heaven, the study said, look at all those people there. Look at all those. Where did all those people come from, those people in white robes? Well, of course, it's assumed that this is the rapture. But now we're talking about after the opening of the sixth seal. This is getting very, very close to the very end of the of Revelation, getting up. What is that, Revelation 13 or 14?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
What is the reference that where the they're saying, well, where do those people come from? Where?
Oh, yeah, that's Revelation 7:9.
Revelation 7:9. Okay, go right ahead.
Yeah, so that is my point, is that if the rapture happens in Revelation 4:1, where we know that all the Christians, once the rapture happens, from all of time, which would be certainly uncountable numbers, once the rapture happens, we would be with Christ. The Bible says that we would be Christ with Christ forever and ever. So Christ is certainly at the throne of God. And in Revelation 7:9, when the elder says, who are these who have just showed up around the throne? Well, he wouldn't even have noticed that. And in fact, there's another scripture in Revelation 5 where it talks about an event happening around the throne. And you know what? In Revelation 5, at this time, it talks about all the heavenly beings around the throne, and it literally puts a number on them. It says, you know, thousands upon thousands are around the throne, and yet there's no mention of the saints in white robes in Revelation 5. Well, if the rapture happened in Revelation 4:1, they would be at the throne, and the number around the throne would be uncountable. But they are able to put a count on it. If you study Revelation 5 about this event, which I cover more extensively in my book. And then when we get to Revelation 7:9, where the elder says, who are these multitudes that cannot be counted? He knows.
We'll have them now. We are going to carry the book because we think it's a very important book. But I want you to be able to get in touch with John if you have any questions. How can people get in touch with you or get your material?
Well, you know, I have a website called TribulationTruth.com, www.TribulationTruth.com. You can see a picture of the book. You can go and actually see previews of the chapters in there. And Dr. Stan is going to be making this book available through, you know, through his radio station. But I like to help people to understand what I've written. And I get letters almost every day from people thanking me for writing this book. And I try to help answer any questions that you have. And at that website, tribulationtruth.com, you can actually contact me, ask me questions. And as long as you don't inundate me with too many questions, I will do my best to answer your questions.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, basically, John takes you through the opening of all of the seals. And basically, of course, as we get to the end of the seals, why it appears that at that point the rapture has taken place, but it doesn't take place early as most people anticipate. And basically, of course, John feels that the rapture occurs halfway through the 7-year period, and then things really begin to fall apart. In fact, as it says in the scriptures, you know, certainly everybody would be eliminated if God didn't come eventually, you know, to put an end to all of this. But you go right ahead with your description, John.
Well, you know, What really concerns me for the church is the fact that in Thessalonians, where it says, don't be deceived, for the gathering will not happen until there be a falling away and the man of sin is revealed. Well, that falling away, you know, when you understand my timeline and realize that when the economies of the world collapse, that will lead, I believe, very quickly to the forming of a one-world government. When that event happens, we will move rapidly to the seal, and when the seals happen and the Antichrist is revealed, then we are on a time clock that is so predictable with events all falling in place. I have laid this out on the timeline chart in my book.
But of course, terrible things are going to happen during that time. There's going to be terrible wars. There's going to be terrible famine. There's going to be certainly this war, one quarter of the world, that looks like almost a quarter of the world is going to be destroyed. All of these things are happening before certainly the rapture of the church. Is that correct?
Well, you know, I show that a catastrophic event, I mean, the collapse of currencies globally, is a catastrophic event. And when that happens to where there's panic buying of food, the food delivery infrastructure collapses, within days, literally, your stores will not have food for you to buy to be able to exist. And your credit cards will be flipped off like a switch. And there'll be anarchy in the cities and riots. It will be an absolute mess. And what bothers me is that we have all been so indoctrinated that before any of this bad stuff happens, we're out of here. Well, when that event happens and we are not out of here, this is going to cause many, many Christians to question the teaching of their pastors. Some people are going to just literally be so mad at their pastors. They're going to blame God. They're going to think that God has abandoned them because we've been taught we will not go through hard times. And this is going to lead to, I believe, a great falling away before the Great Tribulation even starts. And this ties into an event that happened in history just before the Second World War. Over in Europe, as Europe was heading into war, there was a strong church in Europe, and they were being taught that the rapture was imminent. They were saying we're entering the last days. That Hitler could easily be the Antichrist. And that, don't worry, because before things get bad, we're going to be raptured out of here. Well, what ended up happening is the church in Europe went through persecution, tribulation. Millions were martyred. And because the rapture didn't happen, the surviving church was devastated. And They never recovered from this devastation. The church literally died in Europe. And that was a game plan of Satan. And I believe he is smiling today because he's about ready to launch it again on America. That we have been mistaught, just like Europe, that we would not go through tribulation. And it's going to be a sad day. We're not ready for that.
And another thing, of course, that John brings out, and he came to this conclusion on his own, and that is, there's a reference, of course, in the Revelation to Babylon and the destruction of Babylon. Well, of course, Babylon is, you know, the ancient Babylon's long since destroyed. There's nothing there. But there's a modern-day Babylon. At the times that are being outlined in the Revelation, and basically, of course, what happens is there's it is the financial center of the world. But why don't you pick up your thoughts? Because as I read your thoughts on the Babylon, the destruction of modern Babylon, they were so similar to my own thoughts. But go right ahead. What did you glean reading the scriptures about the destruction of the financial center of the world?
Well, you know, it's referred to as Mystery Babylon, okay? And it describes a nation that is just a center of commerce for the world. And if you go and read in Revelation about this country called Mystery Babylon, it literally talks about, you know, global trade. It talks about a land that's surrounded by water, and the merchants of the earth mourn at the loss, seeing the smoke rise from it. And, you know, there are some people that think that the literal land of Babylon is going to turn into a prosperous land that would be almost, you know, almost like China or America. And I don't see this at all. I see Mystery Babylon as referring to a country that didn't exist. And that country is America. You realize that the United States is the only superpower that didn't exist when the Bible was written. Well, you know, if it was referring to the land of Babylon, that wouldn't even be a mystery. But if it was referring to a land and a country, a superpower, that didn't exist when the Bible was written, that would be a mystery.
Well, anyway, of course, they describe this, certainly the destruction of this nation. And basically, the merchants of the world weep because they have nobody to sell their products to. The whole financial system seems to have collapsed with the collapse of Mystery Babylon. And then, of course, it describes the ship captains. And they're looking back at this great city. And, of course, they're seeing the burning and the smoke. And basically, if we're talking about a major cataclysmic event, so it destroys a major city, but it is the financial center of the world. What's the financial center of the world today? Well, of course, it's New York City, the financial center of the world. And basically, if New York were to disappear tomorrow, the whole world financial system would collapse. Go right ahead, John.
Well, you know, this brings up an interesting point that I hear from time to time, and that is where people actually believe that because the United States is not mentioned in the Bible, that what's going to happen in the last days will happen over in Europe and other parts of the world, and that the United States, we wouldn't have to take the mark of the beast, that we could just continue to do our own thing. And I'll tell you, this is wishful thinking. The Bible says that the Antichrist will rule over every people, every language, every nation. And America, the United States, is a nation. And, you know, Satan, who will...
Job, what sort of response have you gotten from your book? Because, of course, you're challenging what is being taught in the vast majority of churches in the United States today, and that is the pre-tribulation rapture. And you're saying that the American Christians are going to go through terrible suffering. And, of course, then when the rapture comes, well, of course, there'll be a great falling away before the rapture comes. But the saints are taken to heaven. They're described as the people there in the white robes. And then, of course, things really get bad, not only in America, but throughout the world. And what you separate the first. And then the other thing is the temple. They're going to have the Jewish temple, aren't they?
Well, you know, in a part of my book, I, you know, in fact, I have a chapter called mid-trib rapture, I make my case. And that chapter has three parts. And one part is talking about six events that have to take place before the rapture. And, of course, the first is that one world government has to be formed before the Antichrist can show up. And there'll be a great falling away, as I already explained. And then the Antichrist will be revealed. That has to happen before the rapture. But if you study the scripture, it literally says that the Antichrist, before the rapture, the Antichrist will desecrate the temple. Well, that means if the Antichrist is going to desecrate the temple before the rapture, that means the temple has to be rebuilt before the rapture. And I show all of this, all backed up with scripture. In fact, I have almost 500 Bible verses written out in my book so that people can follow along and see where this is coming from the Word of God.
And I think you do a great, great job. And now, Chris, what are the 6 points that have to take place? Because you make the world government, you're talking about the temple. What are the other things that have to take place before this event occurs?
Okay, as I said, number one, as a one world government has to be in place before the rapture can, before the Antichrist can even show up. Then in Thessalonians, it says there will be a great falling away. And I show this as an event that will happen before the one world government is in place. And then number three, the Antichrist must be revealed before the rapture. And number four, the temple has to be rebuilt because it says the Antichrist must desecrate the temple. So the temple has to be desecrated before the rapture. I show that from scripture. And yet also the temple has to be rebuilt before he can desecrate it. And then the sixth event that has to happen is heavenly events will take place before the rapture. And you can see this. This is the sixth seal where it says the sun goes black and the moon does not give its light. And when you study the sixth seal along with Matthew 24 and Mark and Luke, all of them are showing outlines of the sixth seal. And literally Matthew is showing that sixth seal where it says the sun goes dark and the moon does not give its light. And then it says, at that time. What does that word mean? At that time. Or another translation, then. It says, then they will see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds. And it literally explains the angels going throughout the earth and gathering the saints. Let me tell you, it's so plain in the Word of God. And yet, we have allow teachers to put a spin on all of this to make it mean something that it really doesn't mean. I just want to encourage people, have an open heart. Think for yourself. Read these. You know, if we have time, I wouldn't mind reading a couple of small letters that I've received from people who have read my book.
Go right ahead. Let's at least get as many as we can. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, here's one short letter. It says, I am just reading your book. I am studying your book along with other books on the same subject. Yours is conclusively the best, most concise, and understandable. When I am finished, I will yell from the housetops to everyone I know. I received this other letter from a man who had a, Bible degree. He says, Mr. Shorey, Pastor Shorey, he said, I received your book last Saturday. I have a Bible Institute degree from Liberty University, and I have studied prophecy since 1994. Thanks be to God that he used you to write this book. I believe the Holy Spirit has used you to write this book and do surgery in detail to the book of Revelation, an event soon to occur. I have already read to page 128, and it is hard to put it down. You make a compelling case for the mid-tribulation rapture as I have never, ever read before. And you prove it by using and allowing the Bible to interpret the Old Testament, by the Old Testament, giving meaning to the New Testament and vice versa, which I believe is the right method of interpretation. The window of the Lord's return is a masterpiece for the end times.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Here to wrap up the program. Well, this is Dr. Stan. The significance of John's book is it's going to stimulate you, hopefully, to begin to study the scriptures. Now, he does a very unique thing, and that is that he goes over many of these verses repeatedly. And basically, of course, as those of you who listen to our programs know that we often go over the same subject again and again and again. Why? Because that's how you teach. That's how people remember. And one of the biggest and most significant things about John's book is that you see these key scriptures again and again and again until you become very, very familiar with them. But the book is well worthwhile. It will stimulate people to begin going back and studying the scriptures. John Shorey, thank you so very much for your book. And the book is, of course, The Window of the Lord's Return. God bless, and we'll be talking to you real soon. Thank you so very much. Good night, John.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And if you'd like to get the book, The Window of the Lord's Return, where it's available, and, of course, by calling 1-800-544-8927. We're going to be carrying the book, The Window of the Lord's Return. We've already ordered them. They're on the way. We're going to put together a four-tape set on this, a couple of interviews with John, a couple of interviews with other people who agree with this basic position. And you can simply, if you want to order the four CD set as well, you can. Or suddenly it's not going to be ready, though, probably for another 3 or 4 weeks. But, of course, I think it's a vitally important that you hear this, that you learn to be conversant with it, and learn to be able to actually discuss it intelligently, and then go back and read the 6th chapter of Revelation. It'll give you a whole different view of what's going on there. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, we'd love to hear from you. If not, if you could subscribe to the newsletter or just get our products or perhaps advertise with us, or certainly whatever you can do, why we'd ask you to. And if you're not in a position to help financially, and I know that many people are not, then we simply ask you to pray for our ministry, for our provision and protection, because we're on the front lines of this battle, and I really do believe that the prayers have kept us going and kept us safe. And since I've been in this, a number of people have dropped out of this movement, this small movement that's trying to educate the people. Others have died under very, very mysterious circumstances. A number of the people I've interviewed have died under very mysterious circumstances. But we're still here for one reason or another, and I do believe it's God's will that we're doing what we're doing, and we appreciate your prayers. And then, of course, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, let me suggest, because this will certainly help you to understand what is going on today from a political and an ideological point of view. But then, of course, none of this makes sense unless you understand the spiritual component of what's going on. Because basically, this is a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And the question is the Bible relevant today? And I believe it really is. I don't think you can really understand the things that are coming down the line. And you understand there is a master plan to bring about a one-world government, to bring about a one-world financial system. And that's why they're destroying the system. And that's why things are happening and have been happening over in Cyprus recently. And I think this infectiousness, this destruction of the monetary system is going to spread across Europe and eventually will spread to the United States. I believe there's going to be some cataclysmic event, and we don't know how it's going to unfold. But I think that, of course, if we have the Bible as a roadmap, when we see these events occur, we'll begin to understand them so much better. Well, my telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there. I certainly live for certainly 4 hours a day, archive 24 hours a day. You can watch our DVDs, or you can read our newsletters, and certainly our more recent newsletters being written by our good friend William Grigg. But then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please also pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to him the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of a Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that the views expressed here certainly are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And over the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Linda Langerman, who's been with us earlier. She's been with us before. She's a clinical psychologist, spent well over 20 years in the field and counseling But now she's given up her job and her income because she feels so strongly about the excessive use of psychotropic medication, certainly within the military, within the children, within the general population. She's trying to warn people and sound the alarm, trying to get certainly an effort to limit the use of these psychotropic medications because they can have disastrous results. And Sydney, right now, let's go to Dr. Linda Loggeman. Hi, Linda. How are we doing?
Doing very well. Yeah, thank you for having me on the show to be able to talk about these issues.
Why don't you just tell people about your background and why you're so concerned?
Well, my background, I am a clinical psychologist and an associate clinical professor at the UCSF also. I was in private practice for 23 years and started seeing more and more regular people coming in on psychiatric drugs or coming in seeking referrals for psychiatric drugs. And my office was in the financial district in San Francisco, so that's where I had my office the longest. So I was working with people who were very high-functioning, very capable in life, usually at the top of their game. And seeing, there wasn't one dramatic moment, but it was the accumulation and really taking stock, finally, of who was doing well and who was doing poorly. And the people who were doing poorly were ones who were on psychiatric drugs, and they got worse on the drugs. This is what I started observing. And people thinking they needed to be on drugs when they seemed perfectly fine. You know, one of the final situations that opened my eyes was this woman who was, she was a powerful financial, in the financial industry, successful. She was somebody on the top of her game. And she came in asking about a referral, thinking she had ADD, attention deficit disorder, and that she needed to be drugged. And when I was just asking her, what exactly was she wanting to drug? Like, what did she think needed drugging? She ended up talking herself out of a referral and out of any medication. But I was left after she left, I was thinking, what would make a woman like this, who's so successful, think that she needed to be drugged? And, and then I started, just thinking about all the direct consumer advertising that we have and that's become such a part of our culture that we take it for granted and think that everything we're experiencing is a mental illness and that it needs a drug.
And I think basically, of course, your comments, certainly about the advertising, certainly on television, has a profound impact upon people. And basically, of course, they get the idea, this is wonderful, and certainly just ask your doctor about this or that or the other medication, hey, if this is proper for you. And certainly when the people do that, they ask the doctors usually want to be obliging. If the patient want something? Well, we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
While the storm clouds gather,
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects. in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Bob, okay, this is Dr. Stan. Certainly, Dr. Lindemann is talking about what's happening as far as the advertising is concerned. And the advertising programs suddenly convince people that they have something wrong with them, and it's asked the doctor about taking medication. And actually, people who really have no reason to take medication because of the ads, or because of the general tone that they get from television, mm-hmm. are actually asking for medication. They're starting on medication, and once you start on the medication, it can alter your brain, and you go from one medication to another. Oh, would you like to get in to give our listeners some idea of suddenly how many people in veterans, how many children, how many suddenly adults, regular adults who are not in the military, are taking these psychotropic drugs today?
It's a tremendous amount. It's crept up on us, and it is hard to keep up with all of the numbers because it keeps increasing. But right now, 1 in 4 Americans are taking a psychiatric drug, at least one. So 1 in 4. And children, the fastest growing market right now for pharmaceuticals, for psychiatric drugs, are children. And, you know, it makes sense. They're looking for new markets. They've saturated the adult market, and now they're trying to tap into two markets, children and the military, which they've been very successful. If we look at toddlers, basically preschoolers, 1 in 70 preschoolers, these are just babies, basically, 1 in 70 are on a psychiatric drug. 5-year-olds, if you look at from 5-year-olds and under, it's 1 in 23 is on a psychiatric drug. 6 to 11-year-olds, it goes up to 1 in 7 on a psychiatric drug. And then high school age kids, like 12 to 17-year-olds, it's 1 in 6 is on a psychiatric drug.
Why are they taking it? Why are the parents giving the psychiatric drug to their child? Do they think there's something seriously emotionally wrong with them?
Well, this is the thing, again, about advertising. If you look at the advertising, it can make people think that something's wrong with them. It makes them look at their child differently. They start looking at their kid and thinking, my son does this, he does that. Maybe he has ADHD. And needs to be, medicated. The schools are, pushing the drugs, the ADHD drugs. So one of the big ones is, it's all for ADHD. It's attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which, you know, basically is a lot of things that used to just be considered normal childhood behavior, you know, being fidgety. We're expecting children to sit in school for longer periods than used to be, and kids used to have a lot more physical activity, a lot more play outdoors, a lot, just a lot more activity. So there's a lot of sitting, and kids fidget. They, you know, they drum on their desk. They talk. They don't pay attention. All these things that we used to just think of as childhood and that they grow up have been relabeled, you know, in the 80s, the early 80s, were relabeled as ADHD and called a disorder, and then there are drugs for that. And people are pressured, parents are pressured into that. They're told by school that, you know, the kid needs to be on the medication to be in the classroom. So there are a lot of ways that people are coerced into taking psychiatric drugs or giving them to their kids. So the numbers are alarming because of the adverse effects of these drugs. You know, one on the developing brain, also the physical things. You know, we've got a big upswing in diabetes, and certainly some of that is nutritional and all the high fructose corn syrup and all that. But the psychiatric drugs, the antidepressants that a lot of kids are put on, these create cause diabetes. So we're creating medical conditions in what would be healthy children otherwise. The other thing that's scary is the kids that are most likely to be labeled and drugged are the ones that are the most active, creative, independent thinkers. You know, there's another diagnosis, oppositional defiant disorder. But that's basically a kid who is questioning authority and trying to think for themselves. So that's troubling, that we are singling out the children that would be have the most to contribute probably to society.
And then the adults, how many adults are taking drugs, and then how many people within the military?
Well, adults, I don't have it broken separately, adults. I just know that overall of Americans, this is when you add up children and adults, it's 1 in 4 that are on a drug. So when you take the whole group, everybody, there's 1 in 4 on a psychiatric drug. I don't think that's just adults. I think that's the whole group. Military, I know the rate that it's increased, and it's a higher rate than in the general population now. The rate of increase of psychiatric drugs in the military went up 30 times faster than in the general population, in the civilian population. And that was, again, from 2005 to 2011 when it really climbed a steep increase in the psychiatric drugs in the military.
Now, is this because the tension that comes from the suddenly being in combat, going overseas, being away from your family, serving overseas, possibly even serving in combat? Is that why so many of them are put on the psychiatric drugs?
Well, a lot of them are put on them just as a like prophylactic. So certainly some are put on for the reasons you're saying. But again, those conditions are not things that need to be drugged. Those are normal reactions to the situation. You know, being away from home, being in stressful, being in combat is stressful, and it is natural to feel stress, and somebody should feel that. You wouldn't want to drug that. But so anyway, so some of them are on psychiatric drugs because they are experiencing, you know, like hypervigilance, or they're a little edgy, they're missing things. But as I said, some are just given them when they deploy without seeing a doctor, without anything, just given a bag of drugs to use as they see fit. So this is happening where it never used to. I mean, historically, you couldn't be in the military if you were on psychiatric drugs, because they alter the mind. And, you know, you don't want somebody with a gun who's drugged and their mind is altered, their judgment is impaired, their impulses are, you know, closer to the surface. But now, now people are given a bag of drugs when they deploy. So, you know, there are multiple reasons, but anything that somebody is struggling with or suffering from is a mental and is an emotional problem. There, even schizophrenia, somebody hearing voices, this is mental and emotional. These are medical conditions. There's nothing medical about it. And using medical language is just a way to sell drugs. But they're not medical conditions. There's no blood test, urinalysis, x-ray, labs. There's nothing that will diagnose any of the, you know, quote, mental illnesses. They're not illnesses. They're not illnesses. They're struggles that people have, even the severe ones. They are still just mental and emotional struggles. They're life. So the whole system, the way it's been put into medical language, is all part of the problem. It's a way to market drugs. So everything that you mentioned, like that somebody in the military might be experiencing, it entirely makes sense to be experiencing that. And when somebody comes back from being in combat or even just being in the military, it makes sense that they are feeling a little alienated from, you know, when they come back into the neighborhood after they've been in this intense environment with a team of people they've been working with, and then they come back and they're supposed to just, you know, go back and mow the lawn and have an iced tea. Obviously, they are having adjustment issues, but putting a drug in them and altering their mind is certainly not going to help them regain their equilibrium back in society.
Well, now, do you have any idea what percentage of veterans are getting some sort of a psychotropic drug if they're under the care of the VA?
You know what? I will look that up and get that for you. I don't have that number on the top of my head.
But you do have the number. There are 22 veterans who commit suicide every day. 22 yes. veterans commit suicide every day, and the vast majority of them are on psychotropic medication. That is a frightening figure, and it's a terrible thing to think this is what we're doing to reward our veterans who, whether you agree with what the military is doing, these people, idealistic people, most of them went off to fight for America. And so basically, we can say, well, they're fighting for the wrong cause. They're fighting for the American empire. It doesn't matter from their point of view. They were fighting to preserve our freedom. And 22 American veterans commit suicide every day. That's a sad commentary.
Very. That is entirely, yeah. So, and those, and yes, the psychiatric drugs cause violence and cause suicide. It's on the warning, the black box warning. And especially there's an increased risk beyond the normal risk. There's an increased risk in those 24 years of age and under. That's on the black box warning. And that's the age of a lot of our military.
And one of the things, tragically, as Linda's pointed out in the past, is that if you look at these mass murders, not necessarily by veterans, but mass murders, suddenly almost all of them are on psychotropic drugs of one sort or another. But we never talk about that. We want to blame something else.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us. 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Dr. Stan and Sydney, Dr. Loggeman is pointing out that so many of our men and veterans have come back. They're given a diagnosis of post-traumatic stress syndrome, and they're put on suddenly the tricyclics like Prozac and Sydney. But basically, it's a normal thing. I mean, basically, you've been in combat. You've certainly seen a lot of your buddies killed. You've seen terrible things, and basically, it's normal for you to have problems, but the solution is not necessarily a drug at all. And basically, right. Would you like to mention the names of some of the products, some of the more dangerous drugs that are being given? You mentioned Prozac. What are some of the drugs that are out there that people should certainly be very, very wary of?
Well, Seroquel is one. Seroquel is one of the atypical antipsychotics, and that's being given to veterans for sleep, you know, when they have problems sleeping. It's an antipsychotic, but these drugs are all being prescribed so loosely now and given for just everything. It's all mix and match. You know, you can say you're depressed and you might be given an antipsychotic, an antidepressant and an antipsychotic. Your child could be diagnosed ADHD and be put on a stimulant. You know, all of the major drugs for ADHD are actually amphetamine-based. They get that. And then they might also be given an antipsychotic. So Seroquel is a very dangerous one, and it's implicated in some of the sudden deaths that are happening among veterans. These are, you know, healthy young people that are just dying in their sleep, where you have just the heart stop because of the drug cocktails that they're put on when they're taking them as prescribed by the doctor. And one of those drugs that's been you know, associated with this is Seroquel. So that's a dangerous one. All of the SSRI antidepressants, the Prozac, Celexa, Effexor, I can't think of all of these now. The SSRI antidepressants, they alter your brain chemistry. They cause, what they do, they're called SSRI because it means serotonin selective reuptake inhibitors. And what that means is that it stops the normal reabsorption of serotonin as a brain chemical, a neurotransmitter. So one cell releases serotonin in the brain, normal. This is a normal way that the brain functions. A cell releases serotonin, and it goes to another cell that has a receptor on it, and it fires on that receptor, and then it gets reabsorbed. Now, the SSRI antidepressants stop that reabsorption. So the serotonin is released, and it fires on the receptor, and it fires again, and it fires and fires and fires. It keeps firing. So it artificially elevates the level of serotonin. It makes the brain think there's a lot more serotonin because it's not being reabsorbed. It just keeps firing at the synapse. So temporarily, somebody might feel better. But the brain recognizes that this is an unnatural situation, and how it adjusts is it starts shutting down production of serotonin because it says we have too much serotonin going on. If the drug is continued, then it will take further measures to try to regain normal, and it will shut down some of the receptor sites because it thinks that they are not.
In the year 1859, a German scholar named Constantine von Tischendorf emerged from an ancient monastery with a manuscript that would become known as the oldest complete Bible ever found. It was named the Codex Sinaiticus. A vast majority of what modern scholars believe about the Bible today comes from the examination of this particular manuscript. The British Library has claimed it is the ancestor of all the Bibles in the world. But what impact has it had on the world and the church? In fact, it might be said that whenever someone claims that the Bible cannot be the inspired or inerrant Word of God, they will almost always point to Codex Sinaiticus as the reason why. Yet, what is typically unknown is that shortly after Constantine von Tischendorf published this manuscript, a Greek paleographer named Constantine Simonides came forward and spent 4 years arguing that Codex Sinaiticus was no ancient manuscript at all, but a modern work that he had created in 1840. Simonides spent 4 years presenting many details to prove his argument and repeatedly challenged Tischendorf to a public debate. But Tischendorf refused to show up, and Simonides' claims were eventually swept aside. In time, the Codex Sinaiticus would be used to replace the traditional Greek text that had been used by the Protestant Reformation and stood for some 300 years beforehand. The Codex Sinaiticus would go on to be considered among the two oldest and most reliable manuscripts in Bible history. If you open your Bible to the last chapter of the Gospel of Mark, you will most likely find a footnote around verse 9 that says something like this: verses 9 through 20 are not found in the two most ancient manuscripts, the Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. In fact, whenever you find a footnote that refers to the most ancient manuscripts, it almost always pertains to Codex Sinaiticus. Because of its influence on both the church and the world's understanding of the Bible, it is imperative that Christians, above all others, understand the real history behind this particular work. One of the most startling features of the Codex Sinaiticus is its many revisions, or corrections, which number in the tens of thousands. To understand the devastating impact these revisions have had on the perception of the scriptures, let's begin with an audio clip from a BBC documentary called Codex Sinaiticus, the World's Oldest Surviving Bible.
On closer inspection, the text of the Codex Sinaiticus is littered with revisions. It is history's most altered biblical manuscript, and within those changes lie its real theological secrets.
It has approximately 23,000 corrections in all that survives, which is an extraordinary rate of correction. It means that there, on average, there are about 30 corrections on each page.
Given the quality of the calligraphy, scholars were surprised to find so many changes. Many scribes wrote for money. They wrote quickly, which meant they sometimes made errors. But 23,000 corrections can't be explained in this way. There have to be theological reasons too.
You have people, individuals, agreeing, disagreeing about what is the biblical text.
If the biblical text could vary, it couldn't be the immutable word of God. What the Codex Sinaiticus was revealing was the instability of the story.
This volume is the oldest surviving copy of the New Testament, complete. This is the ancestor of all the Bibles that everybody else has in the world.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome to this special edition audio CD, Codex Sinaiticus, The Oldest Bible or a Modern Hoax. The Oldest Bible or a Modern Hoax. Now, I wanted to, there in the introduction, I wanted to make sure we covered certain issues so that you understand what's at stake with this particular subject and this particular manuscript. Now we're going to talk mostly about Codex Sinaiticus and the controversy surrounding Constantine Simonides, the Greek paleographer who claimed to be the real author of the Codex. This audio CD is really a follow-up to the documentary that we recently released, Tares Among the Wheat. And for those of you who have seen that, some of this information will be familiar to you. However, what I wanted to do, because I spent several years studying this whole subject, and there's so many details and so much exhaustive evidence surrounding the Simonides affair, that I wanted to have a separate opportunity to talk about that information specifically and in greater detail, to give those of you who really want to know what's going on with Sinaiticus and another codex, Codex Vaticanus, which we're going to talk about also, because one pertains to the other. They're said to be sister manuscripts or cousins. Some people believe they were created by the same scribe or that the same scribes worked on both of them. There's a lot of controversy and needless to say, there's a lot of disagreement, even among the secular academics. And we're going to talk about that, and I'm going to play you some audio clips to help you understand. But notice the BBC documentary audio that we just listened to, where you have the BBC narrator, and he's talking about all of the revisions, the 23,000 revisions that today the British Library reports are throughout Codex Sinaiticus. Now, that's very interesting because when Constantine von Tischendorf first discovered the manuscript and examined it back in 1859, he discovered or he documented some 14,800 revisions. Now, I imagine that the British Library's, you know, their defense of the 23,000, which is a substantially greater number, is because they are said to have found additional pages of the manuscript later on. So I imagine that, even though I haven't found a quote where they actually come out and say that, the Codex Sinaiticus project in England that was concluded in 2009, if you go online, you go on the internet, and you type in Codex Sinaiticus or CodexSinaiticus.org, you'll find the website that they created for this particular manuscript. And they spent a number of years examining the manuscript page by page by page. We went to the British Library. I was there back when they were in the middle of investigating all of this back in 2008. And they had not yet completed their study. But they, you know, scan every page of the manuscript, and they were going to cover all the details of it in a way that had never been done before, and put the information on this website. And of course, you can find it there today. And part of what they were going to do is to put forth the history, what they call the agreed upon history of the manuscript, based upon talking to the monks at St. Catherine's Monastery where the manuscript was found, and then examining the historic records, the available historic records, about the history of the Codex. Now, what is amazing is that if you go to their website today and you read their description of the history, they don't mention any of the actual documented history from 1859 up to 1864, which is that early period shortly after it was discovered, where the origin of the manuscript and the details pertaining to it were being debated in the English media, in the newspapers. Now, the thing is, brethren, we still have the record of those debates. Those newspaper articles are still in existence, and you can access them, and I'm going to tell you how as we go along. But the reason I mark that particular time period, 1859 to 1864, is because that's the time period where Tischendorf came forward with the manuscript. That's when he began to publish where he obtained the manuscript, and I'll make more sense of that later, here shortly. And then you had Constantine Simonides, who came forward and claimed he was the real author. And he first began to make that claim in 1860. And from 1860 to 1864, the reason I point to 1864 is because that is when Simonides published a final work in which he continued to uphold his position that, yes, he was the real creator of the Sinai Codex. And then he bid farewell to England and then left. And it's what happened to him is another area of debate that we're going to discuss as we go forward. Yet the British Library that houses the manuscript today, they have possession of the Codex Sinaiticus today. And I've been there, I've seen the manuscript several years ago. But on their website, when they're giving the official history of Sinaiticus, they make no mention of these details, which of course are of critical importance. But back to the audio clip that we played here just a few minutes ago, there at the beginning, from the BBC documentary. Notice what they conclude because of Codex Sinaiticus, because they say there are 23,000 revisions, corrections in them. And we only played part of the clip, but the you hear the narrator in there. And then you hear an expert come in, and that's Dr. Scott McKendrick. And he is the head of Western manuscripts at the British Library. And he is the chief curator over the Codex Sinaiticus project, which is where they went through page by page on the project and counted up all of the corrections. And I've heard him talk about this before. I interviewed him in person. Those of you who have seen Tares Among the Wheat or A Lamp in the Dark, you've seen our original interviews with Dr. McKendrick, And what you heard in that audio clip was the BBC interview with him about the codex. And